It depends on your situation. If you're applying fairly close to the lagoon, that's very good. In Virginia, where our dairies are, they tend to take it a little bit further. So dry hose systems are fantastic, and they can be used with the same injection technologies. You just replace the tanker with a dry hose.
All right. Okay, well, thanks, Rory. Okay, the next few talks are meant to provide kind of a broad overview from a geographic and historical perspective of manure management research in no-till and perennial forage systems. I'm delighted to have Bill Jokola talk today. If you look in the literature for North America, certainly his name pops up with some of the older citations. They still remain extremely relevant, and Bill is an extremely active researcher. So Bill was at the University of Vermont, and that's where he initiated those studies in manure management, so decidedly kind of a northeastern perspective. But he has a really broad collaboration, including at an international level. And so his co-author, Shabtai Bittman, who's also published widely in this area. And so we asked them to talk about basically an overview from a North American perspective of manure management and perennial forages. So.
Thank you, Pete, I think.
First of all, let me acknowledge my co-author, Shabtai Bittman, who actually has done quite a bit more than I have in some of these areas. So you'll see that as we talk about things. So, and really, this is probably more a Jokola and Bittman experience thing than a total North American, but we'll see that as we look at the papers that are being presented today, as well as in this session in the afternoon and actually other sessions as well, I think there probably is going to be an expansion of the amount of, you know, the kind of research results that way beyond what we have right now. If we're talking about perennial forages, really this is how it's done. You know, the surface broadcast, and you see that from the lower picture there, it's splattered across the whole area. And Rory already went through some of this, but basically this is a relatively, you know, inexpensive and fast way to get it on, and that's as often the priority. There are large nitrogen losses due to ammonia, which result in economic loss, as well as the less consistency, damaging the sward, perhaps contaminating the forage, poor uniformity, odor, potential for runoff losses, and so on. So why apply manure on perennial forages with all those problems? the reality is that it's a place to apply it, especially, I mean, that's where you have to put it on. Even in a mixed row crop forages situation, it gives more opportunity of times to apply manure and so on. So it's, and of course it's a valuable contribution to the nutrients for the forages. But I guess what we're looking at, and we've gotten a pretty good setup of this already, but what alternatives are there for applying manure on perennial forages? And the first one here we're referring to is a drop hose or a surface band. And this is, you can see there's a distributor I don't know how many, there may be 50 tubes or something, anywhere from a dozen to 50 or more tubes, that hoses that are through which manure is distributed really quite evenly with these new distributors. And the manure is spread, it's spread from perhaps just a little bit above the ground in bands, uniform distribution, and perhaps some other benefits. But when you talk about, this is one thing as far as getting it on fast, this is going to be quite a bit faster than an injection. And then a kind of a step up in terms of some of the some aspects of this is something, numerous names, sliding shoe, trailing foot, drag shoe, sleigh foot, all of these really refer to the fact that the manure is being banded right next to the ground as opposed to being up above the ground where it gets splashed onto the foliage and so on. And in some cases there's an actual shoe, as you see here, with a parallel linkage that allows it to ride up and down. In other cases, it's more of just a dragging right along the ground. But and there's really somewhat of a continuum if you look at this. And then there are opportunities for injection. Rory referred to some of them, but these are some others that are in use. This was one I took in Sweden, and then this is actually from a demonstration in Minnesota. But because of the shallow injection nature, they need to be close together so that you can get a reasonable quantity of manure on the field. Just a quick look at the whole nitrogen pathways. A lot of this is looking at conserving nitrogen, and the goal, of course, is to get that, especially that urea or ammonia infraction, as much as possible into the plant. But we know that there are various other pathways that may go, and leaching, runoff, denitrification, and with manure, particularly the ammonia fraction, that we want to try to control to get less loss and more into the plant. And as far as the issues around ammonia, of course, we talked about nitrogen for a loss of nitrogen for the plant. A fairly big one also is this reduction of the nitrogen to phosphorus ratio. If we lose a lot of nitrogen, have a lower nitrogen to phosphorus ratio, are applying it on an N basis, we get more buildup of phosphorus in the soil, which is fine if you've got low phosphorus soils, but unfortunately, in a lot of cases, that's not what we have. If you're looking at phosphorus-based application, then that means you're short of nitrogen and need to pay more for that. So that's a big piece. Then there's eutrophication of surface waters, especially in marine or estuaries. There can be effects on especially more sensitive ecosystems because of ammonia toxicity or nitrogen loading, and then the air quality with the contribution to the fine particulates and smog. So there's a lot of reasons to reduce that. And I'm a little bit hesitant to put this on here because we've got some of the experts in the area talking about the European research, but I think it's important to acknowledge that most of the work in this kind of area has been done in Europe for a number of years. And what I've tried to do here is just kind of summarize from a few review articles the loss of ammonia, the reduction in ammonia loss that seems to have been, that has been found with some of these methods. And you can see surface band 20 to 60%, a little bit more with the sliding shoe trailing foot, and then quite even more with the injection. And there's more variation than this out there too. It has to do with a lot of the conditions that's done under, as well as methodology that's used for the actual measurements. And there also have been some that, for example, that even showed with the surface band, there was no difference from surface application, from broadcast application, because that early difference was counteracted by a reversal in the later time. So it's not a straightforward situation. As far as yields, typically the yields have been increased with use of the surface band or sliding shoe method because of the reduction of loss of nitrogen. As far as the injection, it's variable because it depends kind of on whether that increased nitrogen availability counteracts any damage that's done by the injection to the stand. So just show a little bit of data here from some of the work. This is some of this old stuff that Pete was talking about. this is on grassland. There were a couple of sites, one on orchard grass and one on with reed canary grass. And this just trying to show the general pattern. These are six different trials done over a course of 2 years. This is hours after spreading, and then ammonia loss as a percent of what was applied. And you can see there's the same general pattern for all these, but a fair amount of difference in the absolute amounts. But most of that action is in that early part, say the first 12 hours or so. And then as part of that, we were comparing that broadcast application to this, what we call the trailing foot. And this is kind of a modification of the shoe. It's really just, the hose is resting in an angle iron that is hinged on the toolbar, and it just rests and rides right on the ground. And here we applied these, most of this was 7 to 10 days after harvest, where there's some regrowth, and you can see there's not much visible after application. And this is just one example of one of the sessions with it, where we have the broadcast application, cumulative ammonia N over time, and the banded application. And we did see in 2 out of 4 site years an increase in yield as well. Just a little closer look for an example here. This is looking at just the ammonia loss rate in kilograms per hour, and it just really does show that this is the low rate, and this is the high rate, but the same the broadcast and the banded, and most of that action is really in that first several hours, and really very low rates of emission later on, and not really much difference. So it's really this early part that's critical. Switching to some of Shabtai's work here, again, this is with that drag shoe or trailing foot. and what this was comparing, there's a fair amount of data here, but this is several experiments over 3 years with nitrogen fertilizer and manure applied either in the spring, the summer, or the fall. But these are independent experiments, each one. If you look just at this upper line, that's the fertilizer response curve. And then the solid figures, symbols are the triangle being the drag shoe, and the solid circles being the splash plate or broadcast. And the basic issue here, and this is based, the amount of nitrogen applied in the manure is based on the total ammoniacal nitrogen. But if you look at that, you can see that, look at these they're right on the same line as the fertilizer in two of the times and fairly close in the other one. So basically, based on the ammonium in the slurry, it was essentially equivalent or very close to what was applied in the fertilizer in terms of yield response. And also a more, and greater than the splash plate, which you can see is quite a bit lower in yield for the same application rate. So better response and more consistent response with that drag shoe. So kind of summarize the yields then of the versus broadcast, the surface band. This is actually something I haven't talked about yet, but there was some earlier work by Schmidt in Minnesota. This was basically a banded with it above the, you know, about 20 centimeters above the ground. They really saw no difference in yield in that particular case versus broadcast. But in the trailing foot or drag shoe, yields are better than broadcast in the Bittman work, and then we saw either equal, better or equal. What about injection? As far as the ammonia emission, just looking at a couple of examples here, and you'll be hearing more from Dr. Chen later, so correct me or add to this if you want. But basically, the ammonia emission was reduced compared to the aerator or a dribble or surface band. Some other work in Alberta with swine manure looking at about a 45% decrease in ammonia compared to a surface band in this case. So it really has been pretty effective. Odor also reduced compared to some of the other methods. And yield, again, and it's consistent with what I said earlier, some grass damage and variable yield effects depending on the particular conditions. Okay, moving to this aerator time, which Rory did show earlier. And this has been used either before or after manure application, either as an improving infiltration or in doing some incorporation. Mm-hmm, okay. And the angle can be adjusted. This is just showing one of the slots that's before. Some of this work has been done with broadcast application of manure. And ammonia loss in some work in Nova Scotia, really no benefit in terms of ammonia and actually a yield reduction with that. And then as far as runoff, the aeration decreased yields. That doesn't look like runoff, does it? Excuse me. But anyway, work from also Franklin, which we're going to hear more from her later, saying that aeration did decrease the runoff in the well-drained soil, but not in the poorly drained soil. This is the last section here on the this what we're referring to. This is also what Rory referred to, this tying aeration with banded manure, assisted infiltration, or actually this, I think the formal name used by Airway is subsurface deposition, where the manure is banded in the along the slots that the Airway makes to assist in the infiltration of a dairy slurry or a swine slurry or whatever. And this is just showing photos of the broadcast versus the aerated one. And in terms of ammonia emission, this is looking at the SSD is that the aerated band manure, much reduced ammonia emission over time, mostly again in that first period. We mentioned something about trade-offs. This is actually with N2O, seeing that actually there was higher N2O emission from the SSD, the banded manure, compared to the splash plate. So that's something to be considered in this whole picture. Just to summarize the results with this tine aeration banded, ammonia loss, roughly 50% reduction. Runoff of manure, runoff is also reduced, odor reduced, N2O, maybe the other direction, and then yields. And in summary, and this is a very broad-based summary, surface broadcast application of liquid manure is problematic. And there are alternative methods, one or more in various situations, that can reduce ammonia emissions and odor, reduce nutrient runoff losses, and increase or maintain yields. So that's it.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
Sure thing.
Again, we've got time for about one question for Dr. Jokla, and then I think at the break we'll bring him back up so he can answer more of the art.
How do you explain the N2O increase